that God has blessed us graciously. And we thank Him for allowing Him to be in His house this morning. And we just get her to where she'll say amen with that squeal, we'll be okay. She will when she's not in church most of the time, she'll say it. But anyway, maybe one of these days she'll get to saying it here. So she lets us know that she's awake, and then the earth trembles. But anyway, we thank the Lord for him being in church this morning. If you will, get your hymn books, your white hymn books, as the choir continues on in. Get your white hymn book, turn to page number 95, or if you'd like to sing out of the red hymn book, turn to 113. So either one that you'd like to sing out of, it's all the same words. But 95 in the white or 113 in the red. Glory to His name, or down at the cross. Thankful this morning that He is the one that's able to deliver us, walk with us, stay with us, keep us, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for the blood of Jesus and what it does for us. This morning, let's remember the lost. Pray for them that God would save their soul before it's everlasting too late. We had some raise their hand last week. Let's pray that God deal with their heart, continue to draw them unto His altar of forgiveness and for repentance of sin. Let's keep each other in our prayers. Let's remember the ones that's in the rest homes and hospitals. Let's remember Veronica this morning. She's been having some chest pain the past couple of days. We're trying to determine what's going on with her. So remember Veronica and Heath there and the kids. Keep them in our prayers. Let's remember one another. Let's continue to remember Sister Shirley. I believe she goes this week to find out some more. I have some scans there on the mass on her kidney. So let's keep her in prayer. Let's just remember Johnny. They give him a different pill this past week. to try to help with his blood pressure, and he's still having problems with it. So let's lift him up in prayer. Continue to remember Stephen. I believe he goes for a scan or went for a scan this past week. Goes tomorrow for a scan on that saliva gland in his neck. So let's remember him. Also, let's remember all the different ones that we've been praying for, and all of our men and women in armed services across the land and country, and keep them in our prayers. Anyone else with a prayer request this morning? Linda. Amen. So just continue to keep the Pettit family in our prayers. I believe also this week on the anniversary of Jacob's death, her father passed away. So they've really been through it in the past year, but they've got a bundle of joy now to maybe help heal the pains. So just remember them. Anyone else? Marlene Weaver's family. Paige, I believe, was diagnosed with strep and mono as well. So let's remember the whole family. She didn't have mono? Okay. So let's just keep the whole family in our prayers. Who's that again? Kate and Mark Irwin. So let's keep them in our prayers. Anyone else?
Remember E.R. Watson.
E.R. Watson. Just remember this. Amen. So. Amen. So let's pray for her. And y'all have seen the crazy lady at ball games? Jamie's one of those. But anyway, pray for her. And do pray for the bags that they have fixed to give out to the homeless, that they will reach them spiritually as they see them, to be able to hand them out. So let's keep this in our prayers. Anyone else? Prayer request. By uplifted hand. Anyone that can and will, please come to the altar for prayer. Brad, would you lead us in prayer this morning, please? Amen.
Jesus came for us.
Through that. Stephen, would you lead us in blessing on the offering, please?
Lord, well, I thank for this day you give us and thank for all of the blessings of life. I'd like to thank you for the freedom to come to worship you this morning, Lord, and I thank you for each and every one that's here, and I thank you for our country, and I ask you to just bless it in each every way. I ask you to remember all our troops, dear Lord, and just to keep everyone on safe. I ask you just to be with Bradley as he stands before us today. I ask you to remember all the prayer requests, Lord, those spoken and unspoken. I ask you to take this offering and uplift in thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Everyone, stand your feet and welcome each other to the church. All right, let's make our way back to our seats. Jake, you got a song this morning? Okay. We're going to let Jake sing first, and then Miss Beverly's going to sing one for us. So y'all pray for them as they come. And we'll just let Jake sing, and then Beverly, you come right on and sing your song also.
All righty. Well, I've known I was supposed to sing for about a week. And this morning, I got up and I said, you know, I better pick out a song. And I looked for about 2 hours at the house. And then I got up here and I brought Dad's songbook with me. And I looked all through that. And I said, well, I can't find anything. Well, I reverted back to mine and Stephen's song. So just it holds a lot of meaning for me. So just pray for me. Three men on a mountain up on Calvary. The man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. The man on the left was a sinner man. Nailed to the cross he bled. He could have been forgiven, but he mocked the Lord instead. You say you are the Son of God, and they nailed you to that tree. Come down and save us, if God your Father be. Three men on a mountain, up on Calvary. The man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Man on the right was a sinner too, but he was sorry for his sins. He asked the Lord's forgiveness, and Jesus said to him, fear not this earthly day. Before this day is o'er, you'll be with me in paradise on heaven's golden shore. Three men on a mountain, up on Calvary. The man in the middle was Jesus. Jesus, He died for you and me. The man in the middle was Jesus, He died for you and me.
Well, I started out with another song, but I ended up with this song. So I know where I'm going. And we've sung all about that this morning. We're going to be happy. And I'm just going to tell you not to weep for me when I'm gone, okay?
Is that working?
It sounds like it is. Yes. Not now.
Let me see right.
No, I got the red one.
She's got the red one. Got two up here.
Turn me down. Turn me way down, Wes.
Turn her up.
I gotta remember it.
I remember it too.
That's B flat, right?
Yeah.
That's what you want, right?
Yeah. We think. We hope. There's no telling what I need. Life on earth has been grand, with family and friends, but I know that someday it will end. When my life on earth is through, and I'll be apart from you, don't weep for me, I'll be at Jesus' feet. Yes, one day my life will end, then I'll go to be with Him. How happy I'll be, can't you see? When they lay my body down in that cold, cold, dark ground, don't weep for me, I'll be at Jesus' feet. Don't weep for me, I'll be at Jesus' feet. For He saved my soul and gave me victory. When my life on earth is through, and I'll be apart from you, don't weep for me, I'll be at Jesus' feet. Oh, I know that you'll be sad, but let your heart be glad, for Jesus will take good care of me. And although it will be hard to let our love depart, don't weep for me, I'll be at Jesus' feet. When I reach that golden shore to live forevermore, what a glorious day that will be. Just to meet the one who died, yes, for me was crucified, don't weep for me, I'll be at Jesus' feet. Don't weep for me, I'll be at Jesus' feet.
Jesus be. For he saved my soul and gave me victory. When my life on earth is through and I'll be apart from you, don't weep for me. I'll be at Jesus' feet. Don't weep for me. I'll be at Jesus' feet.
I didn't say this before I sang because I knew I'd cry. But this song has a lot of meaning. A good friend of ours down home wrote this song. And first time I ever heard him sing it when he wrote it. It was just a beautiful song. And I know I want to go to heaven. But I'm like most people, I don't want to go right now. Mm-hmm. But this song is, it is saying, don't weep, because we will be in a much, much better place.
Amen.
But that's what I wanted to say.
Amen. Appreciate that, Beverly. Amen. Appreciate that a whole lot. If you have your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 1. I'm going to give you some good news and some bad news. The bad news, there'll be a lot of us that'll be gone next weekend. The good news, a lot of us will be gone next weekend. The Wootons and the Williamses and the Millers, we're all going to take a family vacation together. We're leaving on Friday and headed out for a little time of relaxation and taking just extra prayers for Stephen. When you get a deacon and a preacher going out on vacation together, got to watch out. But anyway, y'all pray for us as we'll be traveling. It's the first time, I think, ever. All of us would be going like this, so maybe the last time, I don't know. But anyway, we're looking forward to it, been looking forward to it for a long time. And so just pray for us as we get to go on our vacation there. And don't make too many definite plans until the day I'm going to be leaving, because the way this life is, things change so much. But anyway, we're thankful that we're going to have some time to get away and looking forward to it. God's blessed us and go see some more of His world. And be able to enjoy it together as a family. So be praying for us, and we'll pray for you and keep you in our prayers. And we will have somebody to be filling in next week for us. So just remember that and be praying for them. If you have your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 1 this morning. You may have never heard a message preached from Titus. It's not a popular book to be preached many messages from, as far as being those honeydew messages that we love to hear. But it's something we need to hear. Be reminded of, as Paul was writing to Titus, and the work that he set him out to do, and the things that he had called Titus to do, and things he'd ordained him to do. And we need to be about God's business, because He's ordained us to be busy in this world, not to sit back and be on the welfare of God, reaching for a handout, but that we're to be workers for God, servants for God, laborers for God. You know, the fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few today, and seem to be getting fewer, because we're just like those on physical needs that want to wait for someone to give them a handout. We're doing the same thing with God. We want a handout from God without putting any time and effort into it. And that's not what God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be slothful in our dealings with God or our dealings with man. He wants us to be a servant of the Most High God. And we start out in Titus chapter 1. I don't know how far we'll go. There's only three chapters. And in those three chapters, 46 total verses. And if God wants it all covered, we'll cover it. If He don't, we won't. So you be praying for whatever you feel in need, that you're in need of this morning, God will fulfill that. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and to the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifest His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now, in this first three verses, we see here that Paul is addressing who he is and a servant of God. Are we servants of God this morning? Can we put our name in that sentence? First part of Titus is as being a servant of God there, an apostle of Jesus Christ. If we're a follower of God, we're His disciple. That we would go out. It's not just the preachers and the deacons, but it's all men that have been called unto Jesus Christ to be His disciples, His apostles, to learn of Him and to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. But I'm afraid that many of us leave it up to other people that we feel is more able to. But let me tell you, God will equip you to be a servant of Him, to be a mouthpiece for Him if you so desire. God can use you to win the lost and dying unto salvation of Jesus Christ through the testifying of the Word and teaching people the Word of God and the hope of eternal life. This eternal life, thank God, is a wonderful present that God has given us with anticipation. I am waiting for that day to see that great eternal city that God has prepared, that great home that He's given me, a clear title the day that I was saved, that God gave me to my mansion in heaven. And thank God He said He went to prepare a place for me. And if He went to prepare a place, He would come back. And that's not just for me, but that's for all mankind that would believe and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But to have in times manifest the Word through preaching. How are we going to get the Word out? Sometimes it's preaching hard. Sometimes it's preaching hell hot and heaven sweet. Sometimes it's scaring people into salvation because they see how real heaven is and how real hell is and they don't want to go to hell. Let me tell you, I don't want to burn. If you've ever had any kinds of burn in this life, that's nothing compared to what hell's going to be because there is no relief in sight for the fires of hell. The only way that you're going to miss hell is by being saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and committing according to the commandment of God our Savior to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. We've got sons and daughters of faith, preachers, deacons, Sunday school teachers, mamas, daddies that's witnessed and prayed. You've got sons and daughters through faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've led them to Christ, you should be able to teach someone the story of salvation and preach and teach to them the plan of salvation. Well, no matter if you've been saved for a week or you've been saved for 50 years, you ought to be able to tell somebody about how to be saved. Because you ought to read and study and know how to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to tell someone. Are you going to do it the best? It's maybe somebody that's been saved 50 years? No, because you don't have the experience. But just be heartfelt and know where Jesus just brought you from and tell them about Jesus and His love and how He died for them that you may have sons and daughters of faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Let me tell you, there's things in America that are wanting today because preachers haven't had the guts to preach the Word of God because they've been afraid of the congregation and losing what salary they might get paid because they're afraid they'll hurt someone's feelings. But let me tell you, if there's anything else besides Jesus Christ and Him crucified, risen and coming again, there ain't nothing else to preach except the love of Jesus. And if the words of God that's from Genesis to Revelation hurts our feelings, honey, get lined up with the Word of God. It'll quit hurting and it'll start healing. It'll start healing. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. Paul had given him a message and give him a work to do. He's trying to encourage Titus now to do those things, to continue on in the work. God's trying to encourage us to continue on in the work of God. Do we have helping hands or do we have a strangulation hold on how the service is going to go? Do we lift up holy hands or do we have clenched fists? God doesn't accept the clenched fist because He can't give us anything if we have our hands closed off. Because many times if we're reaching out with closed hands, we have closed minds, we have closed hearts. And we will not receive what God has appointed unto us to receive. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Now, you know, I've always heard, and people's always said, preacher's kids are the meanest kids. You know why? Because they play with the deacon's kids. So we just want to establish that right off the bat. I've always heard that all my life, but thank God mine wasn't the meanest. They were just next to it. No. They were good kids. I'm thankful and proud of them. They ain't never been perfect. I didn't expect them to be, but I thank God for the children that God give us and for their stewardship and for their prayer life and from serving God. It's just a blessing. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angered, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, not given to the ill-gotten monies of this world. There's many people that are padding their pocket. And people tell them it's okay, they can do whatever they want to just as long as they keep padding their pocket. I'm not that kind of person. God has given me all that I need and He always will. He's always provided. And if the Word of God says something's wrong, you're going to hear about it from the Word of God. And if God says it's right and we need to be doing it, you're going to hear about it as well. Because God's the one I got to answer to. And God's the one that's worthy to give the answer to. Not striker. No striker. Now, I tell you, every once in a while, I get on the carnal side. I do. And every once in a while, these people I like to smack upside the head. I'll just be honest about it. And if you say, I've never been that angry, you lied. You need to meet me in the altar. I've never been that upset with somebody I didn't want to smack them. You're lying. We're all human. But no striker. With wisdom of God comes the ability to withhold that hand. With the wisdom of God also comes the ability to hold the tongue. And also with the wisdom of God comes a time when there's time to speak. Because what is right, and what is wrong, it must be blameless. Are any of us blameless? The best we can do, we still were sinners, saved by the grace of Jesus. But do we go out and willfully sin? Do we go out and just find things that we can do against God and do them just because we can? And use the excuse, well, God saved me and set me free, and I'm saved, I'm in His hand forever. I don't have to worry about it. I can do whatever I want to. You going to try to give God a black eye by acting like a heathen? And you're supposed to be a child of God? It don't work. It don't go hand in hand. As the steward of God, are we stewards of His Word? Do we share it? Do we live it? Do we proclaim God and His goodness? They ought to be able to see it in their life. The whole world. Not self-willed. A lot of times, if I'd done what I wanted to do, but we can't be self-willed and be leaders of God. Not be leaders of God. Not self-willed. I want it this way, I want it that way. It's got to be God's way. Not soon angry. Not given to wine. Now, a lot of these walk hand in hand with each other. You ever seen people that were fighting drunks? As soon as they got drunk, they wanted to fight everybody. Or the loving drunk. Every time he got drunk, he loved everybody. He loved everybody, or he either hated everybody. And anger can boil over in a minute when you're in a drunken state. But if we're followers of God, we're going to be sober in our life. Be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Well, he set up some high standards. You say, well, wait a minute now, this is for the bishops and the elders. I can't live up to that. Well, let me tell you something. The bishop or the elder can't either. These are some high standards to have to try and strive to live every day. But it's a work that God will help you be able to achieve. To do the best that you can. Holding fast the faithful words as He hath been taught. If you've been taught the Word of God, hold fast to that. Believe what you believe in your conviction and be solely sold out to that and believe it because God said it. Not because the preacher, not because mama, not because daddy, not because it's just the way that you was raised, but because the Word of God says it. And be sold out completely in your beliefs. That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now at this time they had a lot of the circumcision, which was the Israelite people, who were mocking, who were saying that this Jesus and His coming was not their Savior. And they were gainsaying against the salvation that they were preaching. But He wanted them to hold fast to the faith and the words that they were taught that they might convince them. And live by faith and exhort those that were believing, encourage that they would trust God, that they may get out and perform the Word of God as well. There's a lot of gainsayers out there. Well, preacher, you don't have to preach that long. You don't have to preach that loud. Well, when you become God, you can tell me how I'm supposed to do it. But until you do, I'll just follow God. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, of the Jewish people, vain talkers. They wanted to live by the law. These folks today still want to live that way. Well, let me tell you, your sacrifice is not sufficient. To try to live a living sacrifice for God is not sufficient to pay your sin debt. Jesus Christ had to come and bleed and die on the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt. And you try to do it any other way, you're making Him of none effect. You're saying Christ's work did not count. His goodness as He come to earth didn't matter. His clean body, His unspotted flesh, that He came to earth to be the sacrifice for mankind was of no effect. Friend, you can't save yourself. You never have been able to. You never will be able to. Only through and by the blood of Jesus can salvation come. Whose mouths must be stopped. And let me tell you, today as Christians, there's some gainsayers out there. There's false religions whose voices need to be stopped and put in their place. I have not read in God's Word anywhere where Christians have to back down and have no backbone and let the world run over them because of their religion. When we've got a God that is alive and well today, sitting in the throne room of God, sitting on the most heavenly high place that we're going to get to go to by being chosen and being called out and us receiving Jesus, that we've got a home in heaven, that we're going to gather around His throne room as a glassy sea as it talks about in Revelation, a throne of people that are so great a number that John didn't even try to number it, there in the throne room of God. To be in His presence. Let me tell you, all these other gods that ain't got no business even being mentioned. Amen. With the name of God, my Father. Amen. It's time to stop those mouths. But we are so worried about hurting someone's feelings, of discouraging someone, that we won't tell them that there's a God that's alive and theirs is dead. Oh, just let them believe any way they want to, as long as they leave me alone. So you're satisfied with them dying and going to hell. When we think about it in those terms, well, I'm satisfied going to heaven. They can go to hell if they want to. Friend, I hope it's not that way. Their mouths must be stopped who subverted whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Hey, some people out there just teach anything you want to hear for enough money. That's why if someone tells me when they come to sing they charge so much, they won't be standing in the pulpit to sing or to preach. Because if they have to be paid to come, they don't need to come. And if we do what we ought to as a church, they won't have to worry about it. We'll take care of them. God will take care of them. God can use us to bless others. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies." Boy, that sounds like a lot of people in the United States. Can't trust anybody anymore. Their word's no good. Their minds are on evil. And you couldn't believe a word they tell you. You know anybody like that? I'm afraid Allegheny's got several of them. I'm not going to call them by name. They know who they are. You know who they are. I had a gentleman one time ask me if he was the only person when I was running an insulation business that had to pay cash up front. I said, "So far, you're the only one with a reputation that has to." He didn't like the words, but he got the work done. He also paid up front. But people's minds are on how they can get by. How I can get one over on someone. God's not pleased with that. He doesn't want us to be that way. "This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn them from the truth." Listen, this is not only the Jewish people. There's the people right here in the Christian United States that we live in. No matter what they say in Washington, this is a Christian nation mixed up with a lot of other stuff that's not popular to speak against. But Islam is not a sister religion to Christianity. I don't care what color you try to paint it or how politically correct you try to be. The God that I serve is not the God they serve. That didn't cost you any extra. "This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables." Listen, there's a lot of stories, and whenever I've read on some of these religions and how they came up with them from a gentleman in a cornfield in the middle of the night and dark spirits appearing to him, telling him how to start his religion, made me a little iffy on what he had to say just right off the bat. But people are believing these fables and believing commandments of men. They're dying and going to hell because they're not receiving Jesus. That turned from the truth unto the people. Pure, all things are pure. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. And we see that. We see them holding up in Hollywood these defiled lifestyles that God has spoken against. People living with one another in sin. Homosexual relationships and promoting it. Any old kind of lifestyle, drunken. You turn on a country station and all you hear them singing about is what they're drinking. Back in the 80s, we thought it was awful whenever Hank Williams Jr. singing about a tear in his beer. Now they're just talking about his girlfriend taking one out of his 12-pack and leaving him with only 11. And they're promoting this garbage. And these singers, and they're getting big names, but even their minds and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, and there's many people that do. Oh yeah, I know God. But do you know Jesus? There's a lot of people ain't got no problem with God. No problem at all with God. That man Jesus, oh, that's another kettle of fish. I don't believe that man could do that. Well, then you don't believe God the Father. Because God the Father is who sent Jesus to come and be a propitiation or payment for our sin. To stand in our place. When I was standing in God's courtroom that morning, I was guilty. And I had to plead guilty. And He gave me life. He gave me life. Jesus stepped in and says, wait a minute. I'm with Him. I'm with Him. And I give Him life. They profess that they know God. People here today maybe profess they know God, but do you know the power of Jesus? Do you allow Him to work in your life? Do you humble to His throne? Do you humble to His nudging of your heart to do the things Jesus has asked us to do? Do we listen? Works, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work a reprobate. Do we defile His name? Do we defile the position we have? Do we defile our church? Do we defile the name of Christ by the life we live, by the things we do? He's not happy with us when we do. Well, preacher, I'm just going to be here till it's my time to go. That's right. You can be. You can shorten your time too. If you're a child of God and you become a stumbling block, you can leave here early. Because when sometimes in the pruning, the tree had to be cut plumb to the ground because it was defiled and corrupt. And produce no fruit. I don't want to have to leave early. I want to be here. Beverly says, I want to go to heaven. I just don't want to go today. But if God calls, I'm ready. And I'll be there. And I'll be happy. I'll be the happiest you've ever seen me. Wasn't happy the other day when Mom put that picture on Facebook of my 30th birthday. I wished I looked like that again and was that well, and about 185 pounds instead of another 50 pounds heavier. But it was good to go back and remember. And I remember who I used to be before God saved me. By the world's looking, I didn't change a lot. I'd been in church. I'd sat in Sunday school. I'd heard the preacher. I'd been through revivals. I'd heard the singers. Amen. But until I met Jesus, I was lost. I was lost. Would have died and went to hell if I'd left here before I asked you, Jesus, to be my Savior. I'm going to read just a few more scriptures and we're going to be done. Things that we need to be encouraged to do. Men and women both. For these young people that's in His church today. Things that we should be encouraged to do. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now there's plenty of people today that want to take out that part in the vows about being obedient to their husband. That's a commandment of God. That's given to us through Paul's writing. We don't need to mess with God's order. Men, you're to be sober. You're to be teachers. You're to show your charity, your love, and to love your children also. To be sound in faith. Sound in faith, not wavering. That people know how you stand on your faith, that you believe what you believe, that God has taught you in His Word. To be sober. To be sober-minded, to be sober in the body as well physically. That you can teach others by example. This is how God expects us to live. Grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Patience. My patience have gotten a lot better than they used to be. They still need work. Sometimes I'm a lot more patient than others. But sometimes I'm just like the rest of you. My patience is worn thin. I can have a higher trigger. But by prayer and supplication and talking with God, He can lengthen that out. Can lengthen it out. And women, it's your responsibility to teach your children, to live in front of them the example. It's no wonder some of the children in this world dress and look the way they look. Because when you look at Mama, she's dressed just like them. Half clothed. And the things that they're teaching them, the things they're doing in front of them, that they're seeing and thinking, it's okay. If Mom and Dad does it, it's got to be okay. They wouldn't do nothing wrong. Their parents, they wouldn't do anything wrong. That they be in behavior as becoming holiness. The virtues of God, teaching them, living a chaste life. Not having to be the center of attention when you walk in a room. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. That's something we need in America. Husbands and wives loving one another and showing their kids the love of God. In verse 7, and we're going to close. Maybe verse 8. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Well, it don't matter how I live. I'm just me, and I'm going to do it my way. God doesn't recognize that. He says this is the way you got to do it. We wonder why our children are, some of them, having behavior problems and cutting up and acting a fool. We should look at the tree they fell from. How do we act in front of them? What do we allow them to see? If they're sitting in front of the TV as their babysitter, and you've got any kind of channels at all on your television set, they see violence, they hear cuss words, they see immorality taking place, unless you're monitoring it. If you leave them and walk away, they will be children just like you were. And they'll find that they know they shouldn't be watching. But God has given us examples. As Paul was writing to Titus. There's more involved in it. He goes on to talk about servants, serving their masters, not backtalking, not putting it off, not prolonging what they've been given to do, but to do it. Boy, we would take a good example of that if we treated Christ the same way in God when He asks us to do something, when He asks us to move. Sinner friend, if you're here and you're lost, God's nudging at your heart today, asking you to come to Him. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to have your sins covered by the blood of Jesus. There's a good little video, and I'm going to see about talking with the youth group about maybe doing it. It depicts this very thing that we've been talking about, meeting Jesus. When you're good outweighing your bad, it won't never do it. It takes the goodness of Jesus. It takes His blood to cover your sins. There's also a little experiment. They showed a clear glass that was called you, another clear glass that was called Jesus, and the one in the middle was thin, and it was black. They took the black substance and poured in you, and it turned it black. And I don't know how this worked, just like I don't know how God made a black cow eat green grass and give white milk and them different things. But then they took that you that was filled with the sin that changed into the blackness and poured it in back into Jesus and poured Jesus into it, and it became clear again. That's the way it works. God doesn't see your old sin when you get saved. And the new sins you repent of daily, and He'll cover them, forgive you. Where are you walking with Him? If you don't know Him as your Savior, today would be the greatest day of all days to come to know Jesus as your Savior. As they get a song of invitation ready this morning. As we stand to our feet with all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Jesus is the only way. Satan will tell you there's a better way, but there is no only one way. And His name's Jesus. Do you know Him as your Savior? Now, we had honest hearts that was here last week and raised your hand. This morning, do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you don't, would you raise that hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm lost, and I need to be saved. Will you pray for me?" And I'm going to pray for you with all that I can. Friend, I'd rather you come up here and pray. And let's go before God together and you receive Jesus as your Savior. Would there be one anywhere? In my limited vision, if you're raising your hand, please raise it high so I can see. God bless that hand. Would there be another one? Just be honest between you and God. Say, "Preacher, I'm lost. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me." Those hands that went up, would you just step out and come up here and let's pray? If you recognize that you're lost, today's the day to be saved. Because the hardest thing is realizing you're lost. And if you know you're lost, you can be saved. It's so close that it's even nigh you in your mouth just to confess Jesus. His finished work, and He can save you. Christians, are you praying? You've had another honest heart that should raise their hand and said they're lost. Pray. Come to the altar and pray if you feel led to. Pray for them until they'll receive Jesus. As the song continues to play, will you step out and come? Friend that raised your hand, will you step out and come and meet Jesus? It'll be the greatest decision you ever make in your life. Satan will tell you you'll regret it, but let me tell you, friend, you won't do it. You'll thank God that you met Jesus and allowed Him to come into your heart today. Will you come? Will you come? Love lifted me. Listen. Love lifted me one day out of hell. Jesus reached down and took a hold of me, and thank God I'm not strong enough to hold on to Him, but He's strong enough to hold on to me. And He'll hold on to you. You may say, "Preacher, I've done some bad things." Let me tell you. You surrender them to God, He'll cover them with His blood. He'll never bring them up again. He'll never bring them up again. Will you come? Please. Please. I don't want to see you die and go to hell. Jesus doesn't either. He loves you. Gave all that He had. Every ounce of blood that He shed that day was for the remission of the sins of the sinner. Friend, He loves you. Maybe you're there and you've got another prayer upon your heart this morning. You just like to come and pray. You just like to come and pray. Maybe someone's sick, maybe finances, whatever it might be. someone on their deathbed and you'd like to pray for comfort for their heart, will you come? Bring them to Jesus. He understands. You may be seated where you are. Dear Heavenly Father, our hearts are heavy. And dear God, our concerns are great. Well, we pray that you will intervene in this one that was so honest and raised their hand, dear God, that you will bring salvation to their home today. Dear Heavenly Father, that you'll deal with their heart. It's only you can do. All we can do is give the word and pray, dear God, but it must be you that does the drawing, the convicting, the convincing, the converting, dear Heavenly Father, then the conforming. And God, we know that you are able. Dear God, we leave them in your hands, dear Heavenly Father, because we know that you are a just God. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you will deal in a powerful way that they couldn't reject any longer. God, for these that have come and prayed for them, dear Heavenly Father, and others, situations that may be going on that only you and them know about, Lord, we ask that you would intervene, dear God, answer according to thy will. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your words from your precious book, for the encouragement of keeping fast in our beliefs and trust in you, and that we live our lives according to your word. Go with us now and lead us and guide us in this day. If the doors of opportunity open, dear Heavenly Father, may we jump through to share the word of Jesus with someone who's in need. Dear Heavenly Father, if that door gets closed, dear Heavenly Father, may we keep looking for another to share with that one that is ready and receptive to reach and receive you, dear Heavenly Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.